It's wonderful. If you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at some things continuing. If I get started in a book of the Bible, we'll be here for a while. So, been thinking about some things in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians has so much in it, it's kind of hard to go through all at once. And so I'm going to look at a couple of verses today in the book of Ephesians. There's an outline in your bulletin. If you haven't got it out, I encourage you to do that, because I think it'll be helpful for you to follow along and make some notes and to jot down some thoughts. I hope that when during the service, you in the preaching time, something pops in your mind that I didn't say, but you thought about. And I encourage you to write that down on your notes. Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Because God's Spirit has a way of bringing other thoughts to your mind besides what the preacher's saying. And it's good to jot those down. Because I find that sometimes I think of something, and if I don't go write it down, later on I'll say, now, what was that? I was thinking about something good, but I don't remember what it was. So if I write it down, then I've got something. So even if you don't write in all the fill in the blanks, if God gives you something, write it down. You have it, and you can go home and think about it. Okay. Well, take today and get to know the mystery of God's will. If you're aware of this passage in Ephesians, starting in chapter 3 through chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 14 is all one sentence in Paul's writing. He has a way of just adding and adding and adding. So we're looking at parts of that same passage. But today I want to look at verse 9 and 10, and then we'll think about it. Let me read those two. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. And then in Him begins another section. So we're going to stop there. At the end of verse 8, he talked about God in all wisdom and insight or understanding made known these things to us. He talked about knowing the mystery of His will in verse 9. When we think about mystery, we think about something that is unknown. Some of you like to read mystery novels and figure out, try to figure out what's going to happen, who did what, and so on before it. Now, the only problem is some people read the end and then they go back and read the rest of it so they know the outcome. So they're but in a way, the mystery that Jesus is talking about in this passage is something God wants us to know about. It is not something secret that you have to figure out. It is a plan or a mystery from God that He wants us to know about. And so, in a sense, He's already told us the ending. And so we get to go back and live the life knowing the ending for us to know Christ and really for the whole world. So let's think about this mystery that he talked about. What is it? So on your notes, if you will write in, the first thing, discover the mystery. What is the mystery? Discover the mystery. Because he talked about in verse 9, he's made known to us the mystery of his will. I think this passage of scripture defines the mystery. It says, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God's beloved, from God bestowed on me, for your benefit, so I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested into His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He talked about mystery several times in this passage of Scripture. He said, Paul was made a minister, a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus, that he might share the mystery which is hidden from past ages and generations, but now been made manifest or made known. This mystery is now revealed to the saints, to his people, to his children. God wanted them to know the riches of the glory of that mystery. What is the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, you say, well, that's not a mystery. That's common. But when I think about it, is it not to the general public a mystery? People don't understand when you talk about Christ being the hope of glory. That's a mystery to them because they don't get it. They don't see it. They need God's Spirit, and they need Christians sometimes to explain it to them, that this is what God's talking about. So it's not a mystery that He doesn't want you to know. He wants you to know it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what a wonderful good news it is that God desires that Christ be in us. When I contemplate my own life and my lack of being what I ought to be, I'm amazed that Jesus wants to live in me. And I think if you're honest with yourself and you look at your own life without Jesus, it's amazing that God wants to live in you. Because without Him, there's a lot of stuff in our lives that really we don't like. But He says He wants to be in you. And I'm grateful for the good news that God has provided a way through the cross of Christ, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, that in Him, when I accept Him as Savior and Lord, He comes to live in me, and now I can know Christ is in me. Do you know that? Can you say today, I know Christ is in me? That's a wonderful something you need to know. It'll give you a lot of peace, and a lot of hope, and a lot of comfort. Because if you're living life without the awareness and assurance that Jesus Christ lives in you, you're living a life less than it ought to be. You may be living a life of doubt and fear because you don't know what the future is going to come. And you don't know where you're going when you die. But if Christ is in you, by faith you received Him as Savior and Lord, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now that word hope, which we know as believers, is it doesn't mean I hope so. It's like I hope it rains today, which we're glad for to have. Or I hope that something else happens. No, this is hope that says God has said it, it's coming, and I'm looking forward to it. It's a hope that's assured. It's a hope that's guaranteed. A hope of the glory of God. So I want to discover the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I look forward to that. We're all going to see Him. Some of us are looking forward to it. Mark mentioned this morning it's raining here on earth, but it's sunshine in heaven because his mom's gone to heaven. But isn't it wonderful to look forward to the glory of God and what He's going to... We have wonderful times with the Lord, and we have wonderful experiences here on earth. But what's it going to be like when we get to glory? I'm convinced that the best you've ever dreamed of will be a drop in the bucket compared to what the glory is. But how do I get that? The mystery is it's all in Jesus. It is not in my works. It is not in my church membership. It is not in my baptism. It is not in my being a good neighbor. It is not in any of those things. The hope is in Jesus Christ. And that mystery is fulfilled. And God says, I want you to know Him. I thank you for what Becca is saying. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Everything else is wasted. Everything else is, you know, it's not worth having. But give me Jesus. So I want to discover the mystery. And to know that God wants to reveal that to us if we'll have an open heart to it. And He wants to show it to other people. So a part of our task, once we have met the mystery, we know what it is to tell other people about it. To pray that God will open their heart and their minds. We talk to them about who this Jesus is, that they will see it and they will open their mind and heart to receive Him. So I'm going to discover the mystery. Because He said He's made known to us the mystery of His will. He wants us to know it. God's not trying to hide it. He wants us to know it. And if our minds and hearts are open, we'll receive it. Now, some people are not receptive to it, but they need to pray that God will change their mind. So, it's a mystery to the saved. It's been revealed to the Christian. Second thing, believe God is pleased to reveal His will. Believe God is pleased to reveal His will. He talked about the mystery of His will, which He's made known. I'm glad that God didn't say, now you try to figure out and guess what my will is. It's sort of like, you know, a hide and seek. I'm going to hide it and you hunt for it. God has made known, He likes to know, make known the mystery of His will. According to His kind intention, this translation, some translation says God's good pleasure to make known the mystery of His will. So God wants us to know it. He wants us to understand it. The scripture passage I've listed says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, the depths of God. So if we want to discover the will of God and the way of God, He is pleased to reveal it. What's the problem? If I don't get it, if I don't have an insight into what the will of God is, what's the problem? I haven't asked. I haven't sought. I haven't sought to discover the ways of God. Because God is not hiding it from anybody. Do you realize that? The will of God, the ways of God are not hidden from any person who wants to know it. God says, if you seek me, you will find me. And so He wants to, He is pleased, it is His good pleasure to reveal His will. He talked about wisdom among those who are mature, who are growing and believing. He talked about the mystery that was hidden before the ages to our glory. Not just to His, but to ours. The wisdom, things eyes not seen and heard and those things, for God reveals them to the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the depths of God. And so I want to say, God, you said you want to make known the mystery of your will, and you're pleased to do it. God, help me discover it. Now, how are you going to discover God's plan and God's will? Well, if you want to discover God's plan and God's will, you've got to take a look right here. And you've got to spend time in this book and reading it and studying it and understanding it, because God's plan and God's will is revealed in this book. It is the center of everything God has in store, is studying and understanding it. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't understand it, and I realize there's some things you don't. But I got to guarantee that if you'll study, you'll find enough that you do understand, that if you do what you understand, you'll be in good shape. Because there'll be some things you don't understand, and some things you'll never understand, probably. But if you've discovered the mystery of Christ in you, then He is in you to open up the truth of this book. You will not understand the Scriptures without having Jesus in your heart. The Scriptures can point you to Jesus and you can come to receive Him, but with Jesus, He'll reveal the truth to you. And so we discover, He said, He wants to reveal His will. He's pleased to do that. Two things about that I want to think about. One, God reveals His will for all time. Do you realize, I assume, that this world and this universe is not running on its own? That God began in creation a plan and a purpose that He is fulfilling through the ages, and He is going to finalize that, and He is doing His will through all the time that's going on. He's still at work. The will of God and the plan of God will be fulfilled in all time and in all ages. And so when I think about it, God is pleased to reveal His will. What's He doing? God's plan is bigger than us. God's plan is bigger than this church. God's plan is bigger than Sierra Baptist Church or Pioneer or the United States. God has a plan that includes the whole world. God's plan includes bringing all things under Him, which I'll talk more about in a minute. But I believe God's pleased to reveal His will through all the ages, through all time. But I also believe that when I think about God's plan, are you a part of this overall plan that God has in mind for His plan, for His creation, and ultimately for the redemption of mankind? Do you have a part in that plan? Is His will for you that He has for you to fit into what He's doing? You can discover, I believe, as you seek the Lord, what is your plan? What is your will? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to fit in? You and I think we are here because we chose to live here. We're here because God put you here. My conviction is that you live in this community, at this place, at this time, because God wants you to fit in to His eternal plan by being involved in His ministry and His service right here where you live or wherever your neighborhood is, and in this community to say to the people, here is God's plan and we want you to know about it. God has a will for each of us to fulfill, to fit into His overall plan. He fits us in. Aren't you glad He includes us in His wonderful eternal plan of God? He fits us into that. He includes us in that. And so we say, God, what's your will for me? How can I fulfill your plan? How can I fulfill your purpose? Why did you save me? Why did you make me? Why did you... All those things we forget about. God made you like you are because He had a purpose for you. He put you here because He wanted to fulfill that purpose. He's brought you to faith in Jesus because He wants you to fit into that plan that He has for you. And so we say, God, here I am. I'm available. I want to listen. I want to be what you call me to be. I want to fulfill who I am in the midst of this. And so we say, God is pleased to reveal His will. I want to listen. The passage that I thought of in relationship to this is in the Old Testament. You remember a young boy named Samuel? The Bible says there wasn't many people hearing about God, but Samuel was sleeping one night and he heard his name called. Samuel, Samuel. He gets up and goes to Eli, the priest, and says, you call me. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he goes back to bed. A little while, he hears again, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel gets up and goes to Eli, because that's what he did. He was helping Eli. Said, you call me. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Well, a little while, he heard it again, Samuel, Samuel. And he goes to Eli again. Said, Eli, you did call me. I heard you. And Eli gets it. It's God. God's talking. So he said, next time when you hear your name called, tell him this. Speak, Lord, because your servant's listening. I want to hear what you're saying. I believe that you and I can come before God and say, God, speak. I'm listening. I want to hear what you say. And I pray that we'll be alert to the fact that we don't have to be knocked on the head three times before we listen. That our hearts are open and He's speaking. And we're saying, God, you want to reveal your will. I want to hear it. On the other side of your notes, understand God's purpose is fulfilled in Christ. Understand God's purpose is fulfilled in Christ. I've noted before, and I probably will again, in this passage of Scripture and in the book of Ephesians, in Christ, in Him, through Him, is named at least 40 times in this book. It must mean something's important about Jesus. In Him. In Him. God's purpose fulfilled in Christ. In verse 9 he said, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Him. In Him. Do you realize everything centers in Jesus? Whether the world likes it or not, the history is marked by the birth of Jesus Christ. There are some who are trying to change A.D. and B.C. because because A.D. is after Jesus, B.C. is before Jesus. And they don't like it, so they're trying to change it to in the common era and after the common era. I don't care what you call it. It's still after Jesus. He's the center. That's still the dividing line about everything that we know. It's Jesus. And so he said, the Scripture says in this passage, in Him, everything centers in Him. His purpose is fulfilled in Christ. So if we want to know God's purpose, we need to center our life in Jesus and try to live for Him. Let me read the Scripture passage under that note, that first part. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, His prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which is granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God's purpose is fulfilled in Christ. He said, according to His own purpose and grace, He saved us. in Christ, in Him. It's all granted to us in Jesus from all eternity. Jesus has always existed. Sometimes I've had individuals say, well, they're glad that Jesus came into being at Christmas time. No, Jesus existed forever. He just came to live in a human body at Christmas time, what we celebrate. But from all eternity, Jesus has been there. But in the life and the ministry of Jesus is a plan of God. He brought it all to life in the appearing of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And so, if I want to fulfill God's purpose, I need to ask God and ask Jesus, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you? How can I relate to Jesus? How can I know Him? How can I follow Him? Do you suppose we still got some things to learn about who Jesus is? Do you suppose there's a few things we need to discover about what He did and His plan, His purpose? If you took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those Gospels, is there a lot in there yet you and I can learn about Jesus, just who He is, what He did, and looking at it? It's amazing. Sometimes I think I know it all, and then I start reading a scripture passage, and I read, oh, I didn't see that before. I didn't know that was in there. And you discover more and more about Jesus. And so the center of our life and purpose is fulfilled in Christ. So it's in Him that we might be involved in ministry for Him, in witness for Him, in living for Him, everything. So God's purpose is fulfilled in Jesus. So if you want to fulfill God's purpose for your life and God's purpose for the world, your life needs to be anchored in Jesus, in following and obeying Him. Another part of this is, on your notes, trust God to act in the fullness of time. Trust God to act in the fullness of time. It said in verse 10, it was a view to administration or the plan of God or dispensation of God suitable to the fullness of times. God knows when to do things. Scripture says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. Jesus coming into this world, which measures the whole history of time, was God's plan, and God sent Him at the right time. I'm glad God knows what He's doing. That when God set things in motion, He knew exactly when the time was right for His Son to come into the world and to be our Savior and Lord, to live as He lived, right in the fullness of time. Some have noted that when Jesus was born, it was a fullness of time because the Roman government gave them roads that everybody could travel. The language was Greek and common to everybody. There were several events that were surrounded the birth of Jesus that made it unique and special. But in the fullness of time, so why did He come? Why did He come? And it's in the plan and the time of God. And that's what He said. So that He might redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons or as children of God in the fullness of time. So God's fulfilling our plans. But I'm going to suggest He's also fulfilling not only His plan, but He's fulfilling His plan for me. In the fullness of time. Do you ever want to tell God how to do things? You ever want to tell Him when you want it? Because we think we know. I believe with all my heart, God not only knows the fullness of time as far as creation and all He's doing and His plan of salvation, but God knows when it's the right time for each one of us to be where we ought to be. In the fullness of God's time. God's timing is perfect. Mine isn't. And so in the fullness of time, God put us at this moment, for this day, for this purpose, here and now, in the fullness of time. I remember Earl Collins telling me that he took the test to be when he worked for the state. He said, I took the test 3 times and I failed it. He said, I understood later when I did pass it that God was giving me the right time for me to pass it and to have the job that I got and to go to work where I went. So I'm going to encourage you then in the fullness of time as you're walking with Jesus, trust Him and His timing for everything. Because I believe He knows what He's doing. I've watched Him do that over my lifetime in the fullness of His time. Just tell you another one, some of you heard me tell before, that talk about the fullness of time. When we first moved up here, we wanted to build, actually we're moving a mobile home up, we was building a foundation, all that stuff. Well, in order to do that, you know, you got to have plans and permits. And Ed Brown, some of you know, was helping me get there. I had a guy in Sacramento drawing those plans. And he was taking forever. This has seemed forever. And then Baldwin County, and they were taking their good old time about approving it. And I got a little irritated, and, you know, hurry up, let's get on with this project because, you know, you want to get it done. Ed finally came up, and he and the guy who was doing the plans went down the county, finally got a permit. But here's what happened. In that period of time that we were waiting, Amador County wanted to increase and encourage building. They dropped their building permit fees 60%. They dropped school fees 30%. In the fullness of time, I saved a lot of money. Well, think about it. I was fussing because God wasn't doing it the way I wanted Him to do it when I thought He ought to, and God knew all along what He was doing. I'm saying to you, if you'll trust Him in our lives, He'll do the same for you. It may not be a building permit, but it may be when you get to do a job or go somewhere or do whatever. In the fullness of time, God knows what He's doing if you'll trust Him and commit your life to Him and say, God, I'm trusting You. I want to obey You. I'll be right where You are, right where You want me, at the right time, at the right place. And He'll put you there over and over again, not only that in your life, but in your chance to witness for Jesus or to share or to minister. He'll put you in the right place at the right time. You just trust Him in the fullness of time. He will do it. And we just say, God, help me be alert to it and trust Him in it. So He came in the fullness of time. His plan, His purpose. So it's not only the fullness of time for everything, but the fullness of time for us each and every day. And in the fullness of time, He will take us out of this world in His timing, not ours. Not ours. And when He does, we'll have what we've never thought we would ever have. Never dreamed, at least, what it'd be like in the fullness of time. So my suggestion is, today zero in. What's God doing in my life today? How can I serve Him today? How can I be involved in what He wants for me today? And trust Him with the rest. So the last thing on your notes is make Christ the center of everything. Make Christ the center of everything. He talked about making known the mystery of His will according to His kind intention or His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to the fullness of time, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. Jesus is the center of everything. He will always be the center of everything. My goal is to learn to make Him the center of me in my life. Because He's still the center. You know, even if we don't agree on it, does that change who He is? He's still the center. He's still the focus. Let me read the passage. It's a little long on your notes. Let me think about it. Talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Jesus is the center. The Scripture says all things were created by Him and for Him. it's for His glory. So whatever you have, whatever life you've got, whatever resources you've got materially, whatever skills you've got, it's all for the glory of Christ. He gave it to you so you can honor Him with it. So He could use those skills, those abilities, those talents, those finances for His glory. Because He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. People don't want to believe that, but I'll guarantee if Jesus ever pulled out for a second, you'd know it. This universe and its whole system, the whole rotation of the earth and all that stuff, if God ever took His finger out of that rotation and out of all that and ever out of our own personal lives and out of our every breath we take and every heartbeat we get, we would be over. Everything is in Him. He is running the show. He will always run it. He will end it when He decided to end it. He is the important one that I want to focus on in all my life. He is before all things. All in Him, all things hold together. He's ahead of the church, and may we always listen to Him. But He said He wants Him to come to have first place in everything. Now, our question has to be, does He have first place in me? Is He my priority? And now, nobody answered that but you and God. He knows. He knows whether or not He's our priority or not. We sing a song, "All That Thrills My Soul Is Jesus." And sometimes I sing it and then I cringe because I have to ask myself, is that really true? Are there other things that thrill me? Other things that I like almost as much as Jesus? That bothers me. Because I want Him to be number one. I want Him to be the center of our life, the focus. There was some time ago now, there were bracelets and there were other things that had some letters on it. You remember? WWJD. What would Jesus do? We've forgotten about that, but I think that's a good philosophy. When I get up this morning, what would Jesus do today? Where would he go today? What would He say today? What job would He be doing today? What would He speak today? What kind of life would He live today? It all centers in Jesus. My prayer is that we'll learn more and more to center our whole life on Him. Because I find there are times I get my life wrapped up in something else and realize I didn't think about Jesus. I don't know whether it bothers you or not, but it bothers me. Sometimes I get in a project I'm trying to do around the house and all I'm thinking about the project and it hits me. I didn't even think about Jesus during that project. I was thinking about it instead of Jesus. Does that mean I won't think about the project? No, I can think about the project. But I can say, Jesus, what do you want to do? How do you want to fix this? What do you want to do in it? What's your purpose in it? And it changes the perspective. That doesn't mean I don't do it. It just means I've got a different focus on it. Because He's the center. He's the heartbeat of our life. Because He has come to reconcile me through the blood of Christ. And I have been reconciled. Have you been reconciled? Do you belong to Jesus? He's going to take you to heaven. He's going to guide your life. He's going to give you eternity with Him. Why in the world don't we want to focus on? Think about the wonder, the glory, the majesty, the honor of Jesus. Because when it's all said and done, who's going to be the center? When the Bible talks about it, He said that Jesus came, gave His life on the cross, and because Jesus died, every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord. And when we get to heaven, who's the center of heaven? It's Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one who's going to be honored. Jesus Christ is the one they're bowing to. Jesus Christ is the one they're adoring. So why not do it now? Ask God to help me that everything I do will bring an honor and a glory to Him because He is the center of my life. So my prayer is that God will help me readjust over and over and over again to back to the center focus of who He is. That He'll pull me back. So, in the wisdom of God, the mystery of God's will is everything's in Jesus. We're saved in Jesus. God wants to reveal His will to us. He wants to fulfill His purpose in Christ. In the fullness of time, He will do it. And I just thought, Lord, help me make You center in my life. Now, if you're here today and you've never given Jesus your heart, you need to start there because that's where it starts. If you're here as a believer in Christ, you need to ask yourself, is He really the center of my life? Or am I got other things that are crowding out Jesus? Are there other habits, other lifestyles, other attitudes that I need Him to change? The good news is He can change it. He can refocus us. He really can. Let's bow together. As we pray and think, I hope that you're listening, because Jesus is here through the Holy Spirit in this building. Jesus is talking to us. And I want to hear Him, and I want to say yes. I'm saying yes right now. Yes, Jesus. Teach me to make You the center of my life more and more. Teach me to discover Your will more and more. If you do not know Jesus, my prayer is that today you'll say, Lord, I've been living my life without You long enough, and I'm sorry for that. Would You forgive me? Would You save me? Help me to center my life in You today and begin to live with You, because You died for me and You promised to save me. But we say to Him as believers, here I am, Lord. Take me, shape me, mold me, use me. Lord, I thank You that You brought us together in Your name this day. And as was stated earlier, give us Jesus. Give us Jesus. Cause our mind and heart to seek Him. To listen to Your Holy Spirit right now. God, You know what's going on in each of our lives. And You know what needs to happen next. And so we commit this moment of decision and contemplation to You. That each of us will listen accordingly. And we'll say yes. In Jesus' name.